This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Coming American I met on the boat ride home. Miss Susan, that is not your father. That's Abel Howard, a member of the Harrogate Constabulary who's been searching for your father.
What? Really? Oh, I'm ever so sorry. But you do bear my father a rather striking resemblance. Can you ever forgive me?
No triple Joe, miss. After all, you've been away for 5 years.
Oh, that's true. And I do have such a dreadful memory for faces, don't I, Barry? Why, Barry, is something the matter?
Susan, darling, would you mind very much letting go of the constable?
Oh, of course, how silly of me. I hope I haven't offended you, constable.
Not all, miss. These things happen.
I say, do you suppose Miss Templeton knows where Father is at? The last letter I had from him, he and she were getting on just splendidly, and it occurs to me that perhaps they've gone off for a holiday.
Oh, my dear, then you don't know? Oh, of course you don't. You were on the boat when it happened.
When what happened, Letty?
Lottie.
When what happened?
Oh, Miss Susan, hardly know how to begin. Your father's remarried.
What?
When?
Just 2 days ago. Friday morning it was.
What, the very day he vanished?
The very day. Married that morning, vanished that night.
With or without the former Mrs. Templeton?
Without.
Then he can't simply be gone on his honeymoon, not without his bride.
Unless he's a forgetful type. Does forgetfulness run in your family?
I don't remember. Oh, but I say, Lottie, he'd only met this Miss Templeton when he wrote me 2 weeks ago. Wasn't this marriage just a bit sudden?
A bit too sudden, if you ask me, miss.
I just did ask you.
Yeah, now, what's this?
Oh, just a secret drawer.
My father had them all over the place.
And what have we here? Any of you recognize this?
Why, that looks like Father's old target shooting pistol.
And recently fired, too, unless I missed my guess. I wonder now.
What is it, officer?
Constable.
Constable?
From the look of the back of the cartridges, there's only been 3 shots fired.
3 shots?
Fired.
Yes. Doesn't it strike you all as a peculiar coincidence?
You mean a missing man?
A hidden pistol?
And 3 shots fired from it?
No, not particularly.
Well, I dare say that there's nothing to it, but if you don't mind, I'd take it down to the station and have him checked it for fingerprints.
But it's bound to have fingerprints. Father practiced all the time.
Darling, I think he means fingerprints besides your father's.
But nobody ever handled that pistol except the master. Nobody.
But if somebody did, it could mean...
Oh, Barry, hold me, hold me.
Still and all, if somebody did fire this pistol the other night, I wonder why no one heard any shots.
Oh, I heard shots.
What?
When? Friday night, just after Miss Templeton, excuse me, Mrs. Arlister came home.
She lives here? Father brought that woman to live here in our house?
Any reason you shouldn't have, miss?
Oh, none at all. I just like to keep my facts straight.
But, Artie, if you heard shots fired, why didn't you tell somebody?
I didn't know it was important, is it?
Not necessarily, of course, but, well, every little clue helps. How many shots did you hear fired?
3. Exactly 3. No more, no less.
But how can you be so certain it was just after Mrs. Hollister returned?
The driveway curved right past my bedroom window before it comes around to the front of the house. The headlights flash into my room, something fierce.
Can you give us the exact time, Lottie?
It's just 6 minutes past noon.
Lottie, I think he means the time this new Mrs. Hollister came home on Friday night.
Okay, thank you. It's crazy.
It's an excellent play.
It's like they all have Alzheimer's, you know. It's just really...
6 minutes past noon and she saw the headlights?
Yeah, well, you know, Lottie, Letty, whatever.
Yes.
Lottie?
Get your tickets quick. They're going fast. Like hotcakes.
I'm sure they're all coming to see you.
Yes, I know.
I've got a lot of lady friends coming to see me.
Yeah.
When they get out of jail.
Yeah. And that phone number again, quick.
Ooh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, what is that phone number, please?
Mm-hmm. 713-682-3525.
And I need to remind folks that they are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude.
Definitely.
Right here on
Definitely Attitude around here.
KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, and down in Galveston,
89.5.
9.5, yes.
And as always, on the World Wide Web at www.kpft.org.
That's it. Okay, we're back.
Hello.
Thank you. And you want to repeat that number? Because I'm sure we confused all the listeners.
713-682-3525.
Mm-hmm.
24-hour answering service.
Oh.
Our prices are fantastic, mm-hmm. cheap. And anybody can afford us.
And since you're a 501c3 organization, and mm-hmm. we are a 501c3 organization, you can tell the price.
Okay, it's $12 for adults,
mm-hmm.
$11 for seniors and students on Friday and Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and on Sunday everybody gets in for $10.
Wow.
Now that's cheap.
And we still have our special. If you
After
listen to KPFT
special.
And you tell them, we'll give you 2-for-1.
2-for-1. Hey,
that's a deal.
Cheap day.
That
yeah.
is.
And this
can
runs
even
how
afford
long?
Dinner afterwards.
See?
And you can sneak in
our dinner before.
As well.
Yeah.
And this runs through March 28th.
March 28th. Our two Sunday matinees are the 15th and the 22nd.
Okay, so the whole
and
month
And they're at 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And for anybody who's interested, they can come tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock.
For auditions, yeah.
Oh,
for our next show. And Agatha Christie, Go Back for Murder, directed by this strange person that followed us in Corey's mother, Barbara Hartman.
But we don't hold that against him.
Well, he's cute. We'll give him that.
Can you tell her about the thing
we
do afterwards?
The thing we do afterwards? No. Well,
I beg your pardon.
Wait.
She promised not to tell.
After the audition.
Oh.
No, after the auditions, we started this. Elvin came up with the idea of people that not audition very much
mm-hmm.
and don't have a lot of experience. If they want to hang around after auditions, and some of the directors are there to give them pointers as to what they're looking for when people audition. So
that's a good deal.
We tried
like
it last
school.
Time and had some good response.
It was kinda
and
neat.
Seemed to help people. Anyway, and this particular cast, all of them have been here before except one, and
mm-hmm.
that's Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
She's moved back into town from Colorado and gotten back into theater. Dropped by, and we cast her, and I don't know whether she's glad or not, considering some of the things that have gone on, as you can see.
Uh-huh.
But let's hope so. And
is
all
Dan like this every night?
Pretty much.
Pretty much like this all.
He's an attorney. What can I tell you?
Am I allowed to give up my?
You know they never tell the truth.
Who's an attorney?
I said Quiznos. I'm assistant manager.
So he chases what?
A Quiznos. Oh, I work at Quiznos.
Gotcha.
Assistant manager.
Assistant manager.
Stop and you can't by, give out that give number you, either.
I'll give you extra meat on your sandwiches. For anybody that goes to the
Wrong
show.
Neighborhood.
Go to the show and you get a free Quiznos, maybe.
Dan.
Dan Richard.
That is
Robert
the wrong.
Quiznos? Well,
that's something you shouldn't mention on the show. No.
Did anyone tell him where he was coming tonight?
Who, what?
Nothing, girl. We'll get you to the car.
Did somebody say you couldn't drink?
Anyway, you also can check out our website at www.theatresuburbia.com.
Theatra.
Theatra.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you for having us.
I would
tomorrow.
Love to have you, yes.
You
that's
would.
A different time.
By the way, I do need a ride home.
Here
4:30, he'll be on a stoop, Jimmy.
Yes. I have a bicycle, though. I must do
Jimmy's
something
problem.
With.
Oh, we'll take care of your bike.
Thank you.
But anyway, we do thank you for having us as
you
usual.
You bet. You bet. And it sounds like a whole lot
We really
lot
appreciate
fun.
It.
And make sure you show up this time.
Oops. He's got your number.
Have you been talking to Doris?
It's an excellent show. You really love it.
Doris won't talk to him.
All right.
A single girl invited two to the play.
I think they're leaving. It's like this mass exodus behind me here.
Well, thank you.
I don't
you
mind. That means more radio time for me.
Would you turn his mic off,
I think
please?
You're going to have to turn his mic off to shut him up.
Well, see, the next segment we're doing is nude radio.
No, wait a minute. GKM gets on first. No. Nude radio? Nude after I'm gone, okay? I'm on
well,
next. No.
I'm not wearing briefs, so I guess that is a good start.
TMI.
No, but it does wear Depends, if that helps.
Well, that's because, so it's a long show.
Oh,
you know? I don't have to change its intermission.
He's not auditioning tomorrow, is he? Because I'm not coming. No.
How long
is it? Quit tempting me.
Jimmy.
So
we do have a song queued up, Jimmy.
Oh, I guess we do have a song queued up.
Oh, thank goodness.
We'll go to that.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming.
It's hard to believe in a land like this. The freedom we think we have does not exist. Don't ask me why the cops and the feds care in the least what we do in our beds. There's only an asshole would care what goes into our assholes and who puts it there. There's only a person who's really repressed. Years old, but the danger's not what's in our mouths. It's a mouthful of bigotry, which they espouse. Referring to God and the heavens above. Legislate how we make love. How can anyone disagree with a fundamental right to privacy? Something intrigues them. I don't know what. Why else would they want to keep track of my butt?
Romanofsky and Phillips. Sodomy song.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Romanofsky, isn't that guy who plays chess?
No.
That's somebody else.
No. This is the cute one.
Yeah.
Did I say that? Was that my out loud voice again?
Yeah. So now we got Jimmy and Judy in the studio for GCAM.
I know. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect to be here.
And what's GCAM?
Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender History, Inc.
Say that five times real fast.
You almost.
I can barely say it once tonight. Wow.
And she's a founding member.
I heard that somewhere.
No. Yeah.
I think we've had that statement once tonight.
Yeah, well, what can
a founding member of what?
Don't go there.
Don't go there. Now, girl.
Yes, I found my member.
Look what I brought.
Brought a... I hope I can get to keep that.
Do what?
What is that?
It is a poster.
Let me see.
For an upcoming show.
It's in black and white, though. Jimmy doesn't.
I can't read it all the way over here.
Bring it. It was the one that Chris did.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Bring your dreams to a world of fantasy.
Pardon me, Chris, but I only half listened to that one.
Excuse me?
That's okay. Judy's going
to
talk about it.
He got
it again.
To GCAM and you stopped listening?
Yeah.
I was doing something else.
I was watching. Did I mention I brought my camera tonight?
Yeah, I saw that.
Uh-huh.
You got one picture of me, at least.
I know. Now I got three, but who's coming? It's okay. You'll find them on the web. Oh, I took one of your face, too, so they'll know who it is.
Whoa.
This is Louis Weekend, right?
This is Louis Weekend.
Come in.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, GKM is having a fundraiser. I sound like I'm reverberating back on myself. I hate this. Is having a fundraiser at EJ's on the patio at 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoon.
Sunday.
April the 19th this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be hosted by our GKM ambassador, Mark Valadez, who is supposed to be here this evening, and I'm going to say that to embarrass him.
Okay.
And founding member Jimmy Carper.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Disney theme. It's Bring Your Dreams to a World of Fantasy, as Jimmy said. We would prefer Disney theme songs in the show. That's really nice when you do a theme show. And if you don't have a Disney theme song that, you know, we can probably locate it for you if you contact us.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've got several of them at home.
I imagine you do, see? I have a very extensive
all of them
Disney.
From Little,
never mind, don't go there.
All of them from The Little Mermaid?
Well, I think I got that one and a couple others, too.
Oh.
Okay, then. Much more information than I wanted about Wes.
Yeah.
But he's cute, so it's okay.
Yeah.
And I'm old, so that's okay. But anyway.
For shame.
Which, he's cute or I'm old?
We're not supposed to tell the truth around here.
Oh.
Well, okay, he's ugly and I'm young.
Judy had
Oh, my.
We wouldn't even tell you what kind of drugs I had today. Anyway, seriously, all performers are welcome. And you don't really have to let us know in advance, but we'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
And you can do that by contacting Mark Valadez at secretary@gcam.org or me at curator@gcam.org. Or you can call me on the phone between noon and midnight. Did I say that? 12 to 12.
I like that.
That's the afternoon to the evening
hours. Those are
hours.
My new hours.
Okay, noon to midnight.
Where people can call me.
At 832-722.
You have hours, Jimmy?
5785. He does now because I live on his couch.
You've been there for a while.
10 and a half months, but who's counting?
So I was going to say longer than that because I've been coming here for a year.
10 and a half. I've been around for 20 with Jimmy. But I've only been on his couch
since
last May.
Okay, I have one question for you, too.
Yes, my dear.
Which one is Jane? Which one is Blanche?
My cat is Blanche.
And that's not funny at all.
No. Anyway, we are a 501c3 charity organization, so all your hard-earned dollars that you put our direction at this show, or any other time for that matter, mm-hmm. are tax-deductible to the fullest extent of the law.
Because you have other programs.
And we... Excuse me?
You know, there's a PayPal thing. And
Oh, yeah. Yes, we have PayPal that you can go to our webpage at www. I hate that.
Dubcubed.gcam.org. Mm-hmm.
And you can go to our PayPal page, and you can always make a donation that way. You can also you could join the organization, which I just love, and our membership fee for the year is only $25. Now, you can't get a bigger bang for your buck than $25 a year, and you have full say and full voting privileges and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You can't beat a deal like that.
That's right.
We meet the first Mondays of the month at 7 p.m. over at the GLBT Cultural Center, which is in the Montrose Counseling Center building at 401 Brainerd Street. We're in room 117. Thank you. Anybody can attend our meetings. You have voting privileges if you're a member. We also have organizational memberships, which are only $50 a year.
Mm-hmm.
They get one vote per organization. So we're just kind of and we have a lovely exhibit up there right now, don't we?
We do.
Minus one picture, but it's a lovely exhibit.
Yes, it is.
We have 4,000 square feet of walls up there, and we've got most of them have stuff on them. And it's like a work in progress. We're still working on it, and we're moving right along on that.
Don't you have a sustainer program?
We have a sustaining program, yes. Anyone who donates monthly, of course, is a member as long as they're doing that. No matter how long they do it, they never have to pay the $25 dues. And we have a sustaining program right now to keep us in this building and to try to get us out of storage, et cetera. We're asking people just to pledge $40 a month on PayPal. And, you know, that goes towards our office and rentals and so on. We still obviously don't have everything out of storage. That is our goal. Anybody out there wants to give us a building, we're
willing
to talk.
Yeah, oh yeah.
City of Houston, that would be nice. Or all of our mayoral candidates and city council people listening. It's like Why is it Houston does not have a building for their history? Because so many other cities have gotten buildings for their,
that's right,
their history to be housed. San Antonio, Dallas, you know.
I know. When I was in Fort Lauderdale, they...
Exactly.
They GLCC was all in... It was on one floor of a building, not even anywhere near downtown. And then they bought a building, mm-hmm, over on one of the main streets of town and moved the GLCC in there, and they had a whole wing that was all history.
That's right. I mean, there's,
wow, it was nice, actually.
There are, you know, there are cities who provide the building for,
exactly,
their GLBT, well, cultural centers.
Well, the GLCC actually bought that building, mm-hmm, so it belongs to,
wow,
them.
Yeah.
And it's semi-close to the gay community,
yeah,
there in Fort Lauderdale. So it's actually kind of nice.
Yeah.
I was happy to actually see that happen while I was there.
Yeah. I've been to Dallas. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. They're building. It's like it's an old church, but it's huge. And every single organization is housed in that building.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's on equal footing and equal grounds. It's, mm-hmm, wonderful. They even have a huge lunch program where they have this big old cafeteria type stuff where they feed, you know, the community that needs it. Lending library, the whole nine yards. It's beautiful. Houston needs to step up.
Yeah.
They really do. And people say, well, GCAM, you're still in storage, aren't you? Yeah. Yeah, talk to the community and the city.
Yeah.
You know, four or five of us cannot do this.
Yeah. Well, another thing I liked about the GLCC out there is, like, once a month, they would do, like, a garage sale type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people would rent space out there, and that money went towards the GLCC.
There you go.
And, of course, anything you sold yourself, you got to keep that money, but
yeah,
you had to rent your space out there, and they would, uh-huh, do it, like, on a, I want to say, like, on a Saturday or something like that.
That's, yeah, a great idea.
I mean, it's a wonderful, yeah, idea, and it's a great way of making some money for the GLCC, uh-huh, so it works.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so I mean, there's just all kinds of things that we have, somewhere between 30 and 40,000 items, and they're all in storage. We're in 8 storage rooms. That's a lot of money literally going down the tubes every month.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is it's preserving our history.
There you go.
So that's the way it goes sometimes. I did need to say one quick thing tonight before we go. Are we going? Hello. Are we going?
Well, no. We're not,
okay,
going.
But I have to say something before I forget. I don't know where Mark is. I'm sure he's been out Louie-ing all evening. But I know Craig is not here tonight. He is our chairman of the board.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not here because it's his birthday.
It's his happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Craig.
So
it's always nice to have a birthday, especially when you're cute and young.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, I'm not, so I don't do birthdays anymore. But anyway.
You do unbirthdays.
I do unbirthdays.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't do unbirthdays.
I thought after a point they were just anniversaries.
No. See, here's the problem. I'm 58 years old. I'm not ashamed of that, and I still celebrate birthdays. I really do, because I really don't care. I figure it's like every year I make is a milestone for me. So
tell me about it.
They're really celebrations. I know you celebrate your birthday because I force you to. Even if you didn't want to, you would. It's like, what do you mean? It's your birthday. Let's just do it. So that's great.
I know, so mine's not far away.
Mm.
Anybody out there who's interested? No, that's not GCAM. That's me. I need furniture movers tomorrow. No, Wednesday. Anyway. Well, hey, this wonderful actor that was here,
mm-hmm,
earlier. I probably shouldn't be saying this because I bet you Nickel are listening on their way home from the theater. But anyway, I mean from here.
Yeah.
But Haig is helping me put my house back together from Hurricane Ike. He's going to be doing everything. And we've been packing boxes and so on. Got the pod filled. They're going to bring the new pod in on Tuesday. And now we have furniture to move.
Oh.
I can't help him move it. I am old. So we're looking for volunteers to help him move furniture into the pod so we can get the floors done and the walls done. And I can get off Jimmy's couch. Although he loves my cat. He's tired of me. Aren't you? Yes. Never mind. Don't go there.
Anyway. Jimmy's not saying a word.
No. Well, you know, the truth is, I have been there a very long time, and I really appreciate it. And I probably don't tell Jimmy often enough how much I love him,
yes,
and how much
do.
I appreciate it. But it's time to go home. I want to go home. I want to sleep,
yeah,
in my bed, in my house, in the Heights. And I love the Montrose, but I can't afford it. I live in the Heights. And I want to come visit Jimmy.
Yeah.
Without the cat.
Yeah, and it's been 10.5 months of you living out of a suitcase.
I know. I'm living in a box in a suitcase. It's,
yeah,
in his dining room.
So
I'm,
you know,
actually not living at, you know, I'm like, it's literally, Chris says it, I'm living on his couch.
Yeah.
I sleep on his couch.
Yes, it's a small, It's a 600 square foot one bedroom apartment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you at least flip the cushions every once in a while?
No, it's a fold out couch. And the poor thing, he has to come in and pull the bed out for me every night because I don't have the strength to pull it out.
Oh, wow.
It's
I can put it in, but I can't pull it out.
Okay.
It's all those injuries to the wrist.
I know. It's like two thumb surgeries, and I'm just, I can't say that word. Hello. But I caught myself inside.
You're saying there is no self-satisfaction there?
Yeah, there you go. Not anymore. Anyway, there is mechanical devices. Okay. Moving right along.
Oh,
hi,
Jimmy's
honey.
Gone speechless and red.
You know, Jimmy, whoa.
Oh.
You did that to me.
Oh, are you saying it's too much information for you?
Yeah, all the stuff that we've been doing on Louie, I should not say ooh.
Right?
Contrary to popular belief, girls do it too.
Yes, we had ladies this year.
Oh, don't paint that picture for me, please.
Yes.
Nah.
What did we have? The WHIP Society had clitoritists. Clitalicious.
Clitalicious. Clitalicious. Yes.
And it was a demonstration of some BDSM stuff going on.
That's right.
They had refreshments and
that was over at Tony's, and it was in out of the way place.
Clitalicious and refreshments. That's just a real odd thing.
That is odd. Yeah, but they did.
Okay.
And snacks.
Yes.
And snacks?
Snacks.
Oh, snacks.
Yes.
Well, gee, there's a surprise.
How many of those snacks were made out of snail?
You could watch a BDSM demonstration and
pop your snacks.
Yes, and pop your snacks.
Sip your...
Uh-huh. Sip your... Yeah.
As long as that's the only thing you were popping.
Yeah, well.
No, that... It's Louie.
Mm. Yeah, I know. Let us entertain you.
Did I say that?
I pinned somebody there.
Well, we want to talk about how I got pinned last night.
I want details. How many people did you pin?
Five.
Only five?
It was a short night. He had to come home.
That's not the only thing that was short about that night.
Sounds like Robert knows something we don't.
We don't want to.
Yeah, it's all over the internet, the video from that feed.
What?
Oh, okay, good. Oh, I saw my camera last night. People were not amused.
Uh-huh.
I bet they weren't.
They were not amused. It's like, hey, if you're going to stick it out, I can make a picture of it. Works for me.
Yeah. So you're going to stick around for later?
Oh.
Absolutely.
Whip out that camera when they...
That's right. Hey.
Yep.
Anyway. The privacy of your home, it's your business.
Yeah.
If you're out in the streets, it's mine.
That's true. That's true.
And I love to take pictures.
That's right. That's right. And right. I can't fault.
What did I give ICOH last year? Like 10,000 pictures or something I took in a year for them. So it's
Wow.
Louis can get just about 10,000 at Louis.
And nobody can extort quite the way Judy can.
Oh. Hey, I'm 58. I've had a lot of experience.
Coming up.
Lots of practice.
Coming
up at the bottom of the hour, we've got the transgender segment.
Yay.
And I wanted to mention a little something because there may be a little controversy going on. I don't know. There is a bar called Crocker.
Yes, there is.
And the show director is a friend of ours, Jenny LaRue.
Jenny LaRue, yes.
And she is a drag queen.
Oh, yeah. A good drag queen.
Very good drag queen. And they are trying to drum up business for the bar, so they put a sign out in front, and it's kind of like the theme of
the bar.
And they have T-shirts printed up, and on the back of the T-shirts and on the sign it says, "What up, Tranny?"
So, I love it.
There are probably sections of the transgender community that take offense to that. Others probably think it's a lot of fun.
I think it's a lot of fun. I need a T-shirt. G-Cam needs one, too.
Yeah.
More often than not, I think they think it's part of an automobile.
You never know.
So bad. You're going to sit out in the lobby listening to
With me being in the auto industry, I should have caught that one.
Yeah, see?
And I didn't.
We know where your mind was.
Not mechanics.
Anyway.
True.
I like that, though.
He's into mechanics, too.
To me, it would say, come in.
Yeah.
I mean, how much more welcome could you feel?
That's right. In fact, they got a couple of, at least one, off the street customer last week because he saw the sign.
There you go. See?
And went in because of the sign.
That's right. We need to go see Jenny. We haven't seen Jenny in a while.
We haven't seen Jenny in a while. Yes.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me and not Mark. And happy birthday, Craig. And all right. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
And thank you both for being here.
Are you playing R&B again?
Actually, I want to do...
No, it's R&B.
Yeah, I'm going to do Mark Wiggle this time. Yeah.
Mark Wiggle.
Wiggle, Wiggle, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Wiggle, Wiggle.
Wiggle, Wiggle.
All the same to him.
Sounds kind of Jewish if you say it that way.
Well, he can wiggle for me anytime.
Wiggle his waggle?
Yeah, that too. But anyway.
I bet he can wiggle his waggle.
On that note.
Woof.
There ain't no bears in Arkansas. Some folks never seen a bear at all. Some folks say that bears go around eating babies raw. Some folks got a bear across the hall. Some folks say that bears go around smelling bad. While others say that a bear is a honey sweet. Some folks say this bear's the best I ever had. Some folks got a bear beneath their feet. Some folks drive the bears out of the wilderness. Some see a bear would be fate. Me, I just bear up to my bewildered best. Some folks even see the bear in me. Me, I just bear up to my bewildered best. Some folks even see the bear in me. So meet a bear and take him on out to lunch with you. Well, even though your friends may stop and stare, just remember there's a bear there in the bunch with you. And it just don't come no better than a bear. Well, even though your friends may stop and stare, just remember there's a bear there in the bunch with you. They just don't come no better than a bear. Oh, they just don't come no better than a bear. They just don't come no better than a bear.
right, you are listening to Tea Talk, the Melanie and Melitha show, filling in for Melanie. We have Monica.
Good evening.
And she is enjoying a leisurely, little relaxing time here. Thank you for coming back, Monica.
Thank you very much. I just flew in from Afghanistan. Boy, are my arms tired.
And she comes in from time to time. Usually we give a shout out to her. We also have in with us this evening Caroline. Say hello to everyone, Caroline.
Hi, everybody.
And she is the guest host with us this evening on Tea Talk. And we also have some people who are going to be filling in for us from time to time and maybe doing their own show here on KPFT. We have Dana.
Hi, how you doing?
And
Ashley.
Good evening. Tell everybody how you're doing.
Oh, I'm doing wonderfully.
And it's been a while since I've been here, I think. And we actually came in last weekend thinking that it was our weekend to do the show. And we were not discouraged. God. We will not let you folks down. And we're also celebrating my 31st birthday this evening. Woohoo! 31.
Happy birthday, Melissa.
Oh, thank you.
Live from KPFT.
Happy birthday, Melissa.
I have to tell you, it was very, very fun, this birthday. And I now have lived more than half of my life. I transitioned when I was 15, so this is special for me as myself, as Melissa. So it's really, really awesome. So tell me, Dana. Tell me about yourself. Tell the listeners how you became affiliated with Tea Talk and tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. Give them some background.
Well, my name is Dana T. Gilbert. I've transitioned in 2001. I've been with the committee for a while. Started going to CATS meetings with Kristen Williams and some of the others in the community.
I think I met you at the Thursday night social.
Yes. We used to go to Thursday night HTLC meetings. And I know Melanie from way back. And not too long ago, I was asked about the show. And I was like, hey, that sounds like fun.
Well, welcome. Welcome, welcome. And thank you for being here. It's so awesome. We try and get as many people as we can to come on the show. And leading into that, Caroline, would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your background?
My background into transition?
Just yourself.
Just me?
No, just about yourself. Tell the listeners about you, whatever you feel comfortable sharing.
I'm a full-time student at U of H. I study art and writing. I'm an artist and a writer. And I also work, and so I get to meet a lot of people in a lot of different occupations and a lot of different personalities out there.
Cool. Well, thank you for being here and being a part. She actually picked one of our songs. We were listening to it earlier, and it's one of my favorite artists, but she'll tell you a little bit more about that. All right. And to my left, the lovely lady in pink. Please introduce yourself to everyone. Speak up.
Hi. I'm Ashley, and I've been part of the community here for about 8 years. Good friends with Melanie, and she just recently talked to me about coming onto the show. And not much of a story there.
Well, thank you, Miss Ashley, for coming by and listening and helping out. And we definitely, we're talking about a lot of different things tonight. And so before we get started jumping into that, though, I want to let Monica tell you a little bit about herself. She's one of my fabulous, fabulous friends.
Well, bless your heart for saying
she's
so.
She's looking so ravishing. She's got this cute little tight jacket on with all these dangly bracelets and that's her, and her kind of Janis Joplin eyeglasses. That reminds me of Janis.
Why, bless your heart.
So tell the listeners a little bit about you and your background.
Well, I have worked in the film and TV production industry about 7 years. I'm planning to return to college. I work abroad, and I divide my time between here and the Middle East in the area of Afghanistan. And I'm part-time transing, and then I'll be full-time transing once I leave and go to college.
Cool. Well, as always, we thank you for being here, Monica.
Merci beaucoup.
You are so fabulous, and you're an inspiration to myself as an artist, and I think that you will find that when she's here, we have a lot of fun.
Yes, we do.
Yes. And we also have here, he's kind of in the background, Joe is back here. So we want to give a shout out to Joe. What's up, Joe?
Little sleepy.
Little sleepy. Yeah, we do it kind of late at night. I call this Saturday night, although some people call this Sunday morning. And that means that you are probably getting up to go to work, and that sucks to be you if you're getting up right now to go to work. But I haven't been to bed. None of these lovely ladies or gentlemen around here have went to bed, so it's Saturday night for us. And we are coming to you from KPFT 90.1 Pacifica. This is Tea Talk. Now, oh, wow, that was really loud. We actually had the pleasure of going out last weekend. There was a gentleman by the name of Scott Turner Schofield, and he wrote and performed in a one-man play about his life. And I almost missed it. I made plans to see it, but I thought I was going to see it on Sunday. And it was Friday and Saturday at Diverse Works, which, by the way, is an amazing, amazing theater. If you get a chance, support them. They have memberships, I think, that starts at $30. And they bring artists in who are kind of independent. And it was just really, really cool. They had an art exhibit that was there. And it was a really cool space. And Monica got to go with us. She actually bought my tickets. And Caroline was there. And Caroline is a really good friend of mine. We met in class. And I think for the listeners out there, when I told her that I was transgender, and she just had a question. It was a Pride Day float. She was looking at a picture. I was like, oh, here's the picture. And she said, oh, what is this? And what is transgender? And I told her a little bit about my gender history. And she's like, oh, okay. And she was really cool. But I want to talk a little bit about that, but also her perspective on this play, because it was a really educational performance. And you guys want to start talking about it? What did you think?
What did I think?
How would you describe the performance? The title is How to Become, or Becoming a Man in 127 Easy Steps.
Well, I don't think there's anything easy about it, first of all, but I think that the way that the show is produced and the way it's written, I think it's really educational, and I think it's entertaining because it's an interactive show. I thought it was done really well. And I think the interaction from the audience helps everybody that's involved. They can see from both sides of the fence, and I think that's really important, especially for that kind of topic, because most people, I would gather, don't know.
And Monica, you know, you were sitting, I didn't really have a chance to talk to you because you were sitting on the other side of me. What was your experience?
Well, I would like to add that as a male to female transsexual, it was jarring to watch someone go from female to male. And I like the live audience interaction. We know someone at a shop, Tyler, and I had a conversation with him today, and I did not know that Tyler was not genetic. When I met Tyler, I saw a guy oozing testosterone talking about his car and the engine that was blown by a certain undisclosed place where one changes one's oil. And I was surprised by that. Also, Diverse Works, the key word diversity in the community. I think that Diverse Works is very undersold. I think more of us should attend some of their art shows. it was my first time to have the opportunity to attend. I really was honored to go. Also, those of you who have been to the Contemporary Art Museum, you'll find it has a similar energy. It's a very open space with wood floors. It's a lot of fun. Certainly worth going.
That fountain with all the buttons.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
The water, it was just fab.
Good pictures.
Oh, my God. The live theater quality of Theater in the Round, I haven't experienced that since college up at Sam Houston. It's a very engaging way to watch theater. It's more like you're there, and there were handouts to the audience, and it was very pregnant that I was given the G.I. Joe doll. I thought that was weird, but we won't go there. And lastly, I would just encourage you to experience more live theater in Houston.
Well, this was such an amazing setup for the stage because he incorporated it really, really well. And I didn't realize he was actually on stage when we were coming in. And it opens up and it talks about his life from starting out in the womb. It talks a little bit about the hormones theory and different gender variant theories, I guess. Would you say that's correct? About what causes transgender? And he's like, well, none of that really matters. This is me. And then out pops this guy. And he starts talking and telling his story about his life. And I didn't really know what to expect. I mean, I've got the flyer. And he describes himself. It says, Scott Turner Schofield is a man who was a woman, a lesbian turned straight guy who is often called a fag. And that's a lot of words. That's a mouthful right there. And I was like, okay. So I read that, and I saw little snippets of his production, but I was not prepared for that. It was really awesome. And what stood out to me, are you familiar with this artist?
I haven't had the pleasure to see the show yet.
He is great about just, you know, taking a subject and making it funny yet serious. And when he stripped, like, he goes through these different, like, segments, and he takes off his clothes, and he was talking about the surgeries that trans men go through, and he took this lipstick, I think it was a lipstick, and he was drawing on his body and showing all of the surgeries that they go through, and that was really, and the testosterone, the syringe, but I'm used to that, like, that was something that, because I give my shots to myself in the leg. And so that wasn't really, it didn't stand out to me as much as him talking about the surgeries and marking it. I thought that was really awesome. Although it was shocking, and I didn't know that there was going to be nudity. Nowhere did I ever read that there would be nudity. But it was I think it was presented well, and it was very educational, and I thought that he was very bold. But it was in a good way. So,
can I add an odder perspective? Those of you who know me or may
not
know.
Please
do. Thank you. I am a Buddhist. I chant Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, and one of the things we've studied is what we call a bucket list from the movie, which is to challenge every woman to awaken to her elusive wishes and dreams that she has forgotten about or almost given up on. And I think this play was a reminder of that. And if you're not transgendered, if you're just poking along in life, doing your best, showing up, going to work, shopping, driving around, it was a reminder that we all go through what we call human revolution, which is our struggle to become better people, to live a more authentic life, and to go up there and be unafraid, topless, and talk about the fact that a human being wants to change their gender from femme to male was jarring for me, even though I am a male-to-female transgender. It was shocking. But I think it was a human story. I think it was important. And it needs to be given credibility, and it needs to be given a voice. And I was very honored to be there to watch that. And the thing that struck me about it was the vulnerability of bringing your parents to the theater. While
which
Scott
we found
is up there
later
performing,
on.
We were not made aware of that till the middle of the performance. It was just a big shock. very nervy. I don't think I would have the courage, to be honest. To be very honest with you, I really don't think so.
Well, I thought that was really cool. When he said, this is for my mother, and she's here in the audience, I was like, all right. You know, and I think more and more, I see parents who are accepting of their trans kids. I think that that's just amazing, because they seemed like they were, what does she seem like, 50-ish?
Yes, yes.
And from that generation, I think that there was still a lot of stigma. And we were talking, one of my girlfriends was talking about kids who get their genitals like changed when they come out and they're intersex, and how it creates a lot of problems later on down the road, and how parents didn't used to tell their kids or anything. And now a lot of doctors are opting not to do that surgery. And I don't know, I just thought it was really cool that their parents were there.
Well, there's a lot of taboo about, you know, that stuff, especially back then.
The older generation, we'll call it.
Yeah.
Caroline?
Yes, I'm the one that you had that conversation with about the, what is it, hermaphrodite is the way that I was dual-gendered children, which is got to be twice as hard, I think, because then your parents pick, and what if they pick the wrong way? But is it any different if you come out and you feel like you're the wrong person? That's just got to be hard. I don't think there's any easy way with that.
Well, this definitely shed a lot of light on the subject, and we've had a lot of FDM guys on the show, but I've never really been to an FDM meeting, and I thought that it opened up a lot of the, like, I don't know, mystery, I guess, of that, because, you know, there's a lot of things that he talked about that were really deep, but educational for me.
But can I tell you that taking that show in a broader sense, first of all, without notifying the public, I mean, myself, I was shocked. I was like, okay, there's full frontal nudity, but what am I looking at? It was almost shocking to me, to the, not because I was being judgmental, but because I wasn't even given the chance to be made aware of what I was going to be looking at. And I think for the mass general public, even for people that are transitioning, they may not be prepared to look at that themselves. Mm-hmm. So I think without some kind of disclaimer, I think you're doing a disservice, because maybe more people would be curious to come to a show like that, in the sense that they would find out maybe a little bit more than they would know, which is nothing, or a little. But it's shocking. And if it's shocking to someone who's changing, imagine if you're just little old me. It's like, okay.
Well, I actually talked to one of the trans guys, and he said that he was shocked by that. And I thought that that was an interesting perspective, because he was a trans guy. And he was like, well, but he also had his lover there. And it was, I think there was, that was part of the dynamic, maybe. But I wish he was here to talk about it. I don't know. It's art. I think with art, you have to be risky to be able to grab people's attention and cutting edge. It was definitely that particular part, but also the part about, you know, him going through and having a period at times, and that's something that I didn't know happened. You know, I thought that as guys transition, they took the testosterone, they never dealt with that, but I guess that's just me not really asking and not knowing the experience. That was pretty cool, too, when he went around and he was tearing up the tampons and going crazy, and he talked about eating chocolate with his girlfriend. It's like, oh, yeah, chocolate. Which I got a lot of for my birthday. Thank you, everyone. I love chocolate. So, this young gentleman, he's a talented young artist. This is one of I guess, his third original solo performances. They have it on YouTube. You can put him on YouTube or probably Google him. It's Scott Turner Schofield, S-C-H-O-F-I-E-L-D. And it's Becoming a Man in 127 Easy Steps. He talks about his life. I gather that it's different every show because he just said, pick a number. And people would just yell out numbers and he would tell a different story. It's really, really awesome. So
cool.
If it's in your town, get a chance, go see it. I almost missed him. I'm so glad that I didn't. And he's won all kinds of awards, too. We have a caller. I guess this is a mystery caller. I'm being told that Mr. Ed is on the phone.
Hello, Wilbur. How are you, Wilbur?
Well, hello, Mr. Ed. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, Missy. Oh, you and Monica are really looking hot. Pulling like a horse, baby.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ed. Oh, my God. What do you think about this cold weather? Are you out in the cold here in Houston?
10 inches, a proof of that.
Well, Mr. Ed, thank you so much for sharing that little tidbit of information.
Oh, my God, I am so offended. I cannot believe that Mr. Ed called this radio show.
Monica.
Doesn't he know that we have to observe standard FCC practices, including the 7 words you cannot say on radio or television? And I'm very offended that someone would do bad celebrity impersonations. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well, Monica, it's
Does
okay.
Does he have a cell phone number?
I don't have a
Is
cell phone
single?
Number.
I heard he's hung like a horse.
Oh, Monica. Dana. What do you think of that? Can you believe Mr. Ed called here?
No, I can't.
Okay. We have some music to play for you. Caroline, what do we have? We have some music. I believe this, when it came out, was a lesbian techno number. It's called All of the Things She Said. It is a great kind of techno song. I used to perform to it, but it created a lot of stir in the public when it came out. And it's got these two really young-looking girls kissing and making out. So this is All the Things She Said.
Okay, and right before that, let me go ahead and say, you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. And as always, 89.5 in Galveston, and on the World Wide Web at www.kpft.org. And here we go.
Wanna fly away, but the sun will rain. Coming out of my face, wash away all the shame.
All right, that was Tattoo, All the Things She Said. And I know this was a really hot number. We are live on the air. This is KPFT 90.1 Pacifica. And we have in the studio Caroline, Ashley, Monica, Dana, Melissa, and Joe in the background. He's hanging out and chilling. Well, we've got some interesting news coming up actually tomorrow. I don't know if very many people know this, but I'm leaving for Austin and going to be hanging out with our Texas legislature. And typically we don't go into politics on this show. But just to let everyone know, Monday is the TG Lobby Day in Austin, Texas. And me and my girlfriend, did you know it was TG Lobby Day?
No, I was not aware.
What about you, Ashley?
No, I had none.
Well, if you want to go, let's get together and we will get a room and carpool. I plan to go and talk to my lobbyists. I find that it's always really interesting. I've never been to actually the Texas Lobby Day because I missed it. I've been here for about 3 years. And there's just something about talking to your representative and saying, hey, I'm a transsexual. I want you to protect my rights. It's really empowering. So I know Monica's got to get out of town. Caroline, what... You're over there. You've got a giggle on your face.
I think that's great. I haven't even talked to my lobbyist, so I'm impressed that you're going on TG Day.
Well,
I didn't even know they had a TG Day. I feel deprived now. I'm like, do they have just a regular girl day?
Well, I think that every day is kind of a regular girl day. I don't know. This is just the transgender community around the state. Actually, we get together. We target our representatives. They do a training, although I've done this before. And they go and they talk about legislation that is up for vote. And it's so important here because our legislature only meets every 2 years. So I think it's double the impact. I remember we were going to in Indiana, where I'm from, and we were on the elevator, and they were talking about those crazy cross-dressers, and we were in the elevator with them, and they had no clue.
Oh, my God.
And so I just handed them a pamphlet and asked them to support Noah and SJ, SJ something. And
am I on a radio show with crazy cross-dressers right now?
Oh, my God, Monica.
Oh, my God.
Is there a cross-dresser around? No. No,
get
I don't
out.
Think so.
No way.
No. Caroline, is there something you haven't told me?
Yes, there's boxes underneath the mini.
Oh, God. That's okay. If you wear boxers underneath your mini, I'm all right with that. you are listening to T-Talk 90.1. We kind of started talking about this topic, and this came from the Scott Turner Schofield conversation, and we were actually discussing it earlier about a lot of confusion about this next topic, primary and secondary transsexuals. Now, it was presented to me only as a transsexual phenomenon. And for those of you who aren't listening, usually there's many different segments under the umbrella term of transgendered. You've got cross-dressers, transgendered people who typically, from my understanding, transgendered people are non-op people, but I'm from the old school, so it may have changed. I may not be hip and know my lingo now that I'm old. I'm 31, according to my 15-year-old self. I'm ancient.
God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But, you know, things, they have changed. And so primary and secondary TSs, ladies.
Well, they change these terms so often, it's hard to keep up.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I remember not that long ago, a non-op wasn't even considered a transsexual. Now they consider them transsexuals. Primary and secondary, to me, almost seems like hardcore transsexuals who are going for the operation talk about this true TS stuff, and they consider non-ops to be, you know, not TSs at all and stuff. And I really don't know what fits in where, but the true TS almost sounds something like that. But then you mentioned some sort of mental thing, which, you know, adds in a whole new perspective. And the book that the psychiatrist used, I forget exactly what it's called, but...
I'm looking it up now. I don't think it's a book. It's a lady's website. We were trying to figure out what... tell the listeners what primary and secondary transsexual is to you. Because this is what we were talking about. There was confusion even between us who are... I'm a transsexual... You're transsexual, Dana, yes. Right? You consider yourself trans. Monica, are you a transsexual?
Yes, I am medically. I was told that I'm gender dysphoric and middle-of-the-road transsexual. I'm on estrogen therapy, and I have the blood work to prove it.
And Ashley, are you a transgender, transsexual woman?
Yes, I'm transsexual.
And Caroline, you are... what I call monogendered.
Caroline. I was born Caroline. I'm still Caroline, and yay, I feel Caroline. Very blessed that I didn't have to worry about that choice.
And you would say you're not a transsexual?
No, not a transsexual. Okay. Unless it's Halloween, and then I've been known to be quite a few different things.
Haven't we all?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And... so, these are the perspectives in the room here, and I don't know, through all of us, we have different perspectives. What is primary and secondary transsexual to you?
Well, like I said, it seems almost like the true transsexual movement. Now, like you said, there could be more to it than that. You know, I'm not mm-hmm. an expert in any of this, and a long time ago, it was something that I thought about a lot, you know, but, you know, I got to know more and more non-ops over the years, and I just honestly, you know, just can't tell the difference. I mean, it's all the same to me with the one little difference.
Okay. And Monica, because I was actually talking to you, and I got this idea for the topic. What do you know, or what has been told to you about primary and secondary transsexuals?
Well, I'll speak from my perspective skin deep.
Okay.
Many of us are classified by people outside of this community as the other. Like, you know, we're all in Yugoslavia, but Marshall Tito banned the country. So when GLBT people get together, it's like Bosnia, Serbia, Macedonia, and Croatia all crammed together, and it's not a real nation. And even within the trans community, I found for me that the Grand Canyon of this is a word called autogynephilia. Mm-hmm. Autogynephilia.
We were talking about that earlier.
What in the heck is she talking about? Well, all right. When you repress the fact that you're a transsexual and you find that this creates an erotic reaction, in other words, I'm cross-dressing in secret, it's exciting, and then I'm binging and purging and throwing my clothing away. And I'm saying this because I did this. And once I came to terms medically with the fact that the doctor tells me you need to go on estrogen therapy, after a certain time, the same behavior doesn't produce the same reaction. So autogynephilia fades away. And as you spend time with estrogen in your body, it changes the physiological reaction of cross-dressing, which becomes a grounding experience. This is where you divide the line between being a transvestite and a transsexual. Mm-hmm. And for me, I believe... that a primary transsexual is someone who no longer experiences autogynephilia, because that's how I've found it. I've read a book called The Uninvited Dilemma. I talked to my doctor, which I promptly did the Monty Python thing of run away, run away, run away. No, I'm not going to be a transsexual. My death is terrible. We're all whispering. It's a dirty secret. So I decided, you know, I will binge and purge. And if I'm really tough, stop being evil and I won't be a transsexual anymore. But the problem becomes you can't stop being a transsexual. You are a transsexual. Oh my God, it's a medical condition. So when you cross that bridge, take the estrogen and begin to cross-dress because it's your identity and not because you're binging and purging on it and getting a kick from it, you've become a primary transsexual. That's my humble opinion. People will disagree, but I can only tell you that I'm me, I'm in my skin, this is what I've read, this is what I've experienced, and that's where I'm at. And I'm working abroad to pay for this, so I don't know if I'm a good transsexual or if I'm a passable transsexual, but I guess I'm a primary, whatever that means. In a way, I think the term is a little arrogant, you know, because now we're micro-niching ourselves and demarcating ourselves into little subcategories, you know, like,
well,
you're not good
know.
Enough if you're secondary or something. I don't know.
We know society likes to put things in boxes, labels, label people and say, check here for this or this or this. And we're outside of the box according to the status quo. And it reminds me of this little mouse pad that I got and said male, female, and then on one it said other. And it checked the other. I was like, oh, that's such a cool mouse pad. But there's no other box unless you're with a really cool organization. I know Hacks used to have correct paperwork. And I think in a lot of other countries they do as well, who are more liberal. We were talking about the Netherlands, and I think that they do that too. They have a lot of transgender people there.
Yeah, they have a very rigid plan that they like people to follow to sort of check all the dots and cross all the T's, you know, to make sure that you're following the rules.
Well, but we were talking about people putting people in the boxes, and, you know, I think with this primary and secondary TS, I think that this is something along those lines. Me and Mel were talking about it, and she was saying it was BS. I think that's one of those beep words I'm not supposed to say. So I won't say it full. I'll use code. But she was saying it was BS, that's just people trying to say, oh, I'm better than you. And I personally know that as an entertainer, I was told that...
I was saying that's how I look at it, because I was one of those people feeling like I was better than them. I was more important than them.
And I think sometimes there's two elitists in our community,
yes,
who think that they're more evolved or they're better than some of the other people in the community. I know I've personally seen it myself, even though a lot of times people will say, oh, no, we don't have that in our community.
They could just be insecure with themselves, so they want to, you know, feel like, hey, you know, I'm way up here. You know, I'm important. You know, I'm the true one.
Yeah. And I actually had a conversation with a girl because I'm non-op. I don't want to have the sex change surgery at this point. But those people, I know you're actually going for your surgery.
Yes, soon. In April I'm going to Thailand, and I can't wait.
And she was the same way. She was saving her money to go to Thailand. She told me, she said, oh, you're not a transsexual. And I was looking at her. I was like, well, honey, I beg to differ. I said, I don't think so. There's nothing that says that you're more of a transsexual than I am because I don't want to have the surgery. She said, oh, no. It says in, I guess, the DSM-4, she started saying what a transsexual was. And I was like, no, baby. I don't need your labels to validate my transgender status. But I think she was one of those insecure people, too,
yes,
who had to, you know, try to put me down to make herself feel higher. So, and I think, too, probably in our community, because we have a lot of, I don't know, self-confidence issues. I know that I have
very much
a huge self-confidence issue when I was male, and going through puberty when I was younger, like 12 or 10 to 12,
I was like, oh God, I just feel weird. But I think most teenagers do. But I just know that this is what I was and that I wanted to be a girl.
Exactly. I felt that way for a long time, and I vividly remember the day my parents told me for Christmas they got me an electric razor. I was like, I don't want that. I was like, but little did I know how much I needed it in the future, of course, till I finish, you know, the rest of it, getting rid of it. Mm-hmm. I just use regular razors because they work better.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, our community, when I was young, I had a really low self-esteem until I transitioned. And I think that some people may not ever really get out of that. I don't know. Do y'all feel where I'm going with that? Monica, you're shaking your head. What are your thoughts on this issue? I know you have lots of thoughts going on over there. I can see it in your eyes.
Well, I would add that I had the privilege to go to Manchester, England.
Uh-huh.
And there's a large community there of people.
A transgender community?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And on the beer coasters, the local constabulary, the police, they have anti-discrimination ads everywhere, and people don't care whether they're clocked or not. And the odd experience I had was my good friends who acted as escorts with me were always giving me, we talked about this, it was such a joke, oh my God, hurry up, Monica. Okay. And what did I say to hurry up, Monica? I said, sweetheart, nobody tells Monica to hurry up, thank you. I went to Vanities and bought the Ben Nye makeup line, and I used that because I have to pass, and because I'm working abroad, I can't do 8 weeks of laser surgery, thank you. So now we're back to primary, secondary. Am I primary? Am I secondary? So, one of my friends, Trisha, is walking around on Oxford Street in downtown London, England, on the West End.
Mm-hmm.
And she's tittering around, and there I am being clocked because I'm sitting next to someone and walking all day next to someone, touring the House of Lords and Parliament, thank you. Foreign citizen, very nerve-wracking. Therapist says you have to pass part-time. What better test for a U.S. national to go to the United Kingdom in London and have the temerity to cross-dress in the House of Lords? Thank you. And I have a picture on my altar at home.
So you were with this U.K. girl.
Mm-hmm.
And you were passing.
Yes, but because I'm with her and she doesn't want to pass and wants to get clocked, we're back to autogenophilia.
She didn't care,
right,
but there's people saying she was transgender.
She was on the pink site, which we can't disclose on the radio.
Okay. And how did that make you feel, you know?
Irritated. Annoyed.
Irritated.
Do
you think that was your American perspective?
That was my transsexual perspective.
Because I know
I've been there.
Thanks.
Exactly. I know that I've been out with people who aren't as passable, but it really doesn't bother me. Although, like, I don't care. I'm out to people, and I want them to know and ask questions and stuff. But I think also that's personal, too, because I live with this girl. She was a whack job, though.
I'm out at work, pretty much. I mean, originally, when I got my name changed, I did it at work. So the mm-hmm. original employees, because I've been here about 3 years anyways, knew. And I guess it just passes through word of mouth for most people because, surprisingly, in the uniform, I think I pass pretty decently to the customers. I think that just the employees just tell the employees. And as long as they're respectful to me, I really don't care.
Yeah, that's my... Ashley, you look like you want to say something.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to live in the closet exactly, but when I'm out and about, I want to be just viewed as a normal, you know, quote unquote normal person.
Uh-huh.
And I want to lead a relatively straightforward normal life. If I'm with someone who's like looks like Ernest Borgnine in a dress and isn't even trying, then it's like you're walking around with a sign saying, you know, take a really good look at me and see if you can find anything to bash about me. And so that's kind of an uncomfortable experience. You know, when you're trying to pass and the person next to you is making it impossible. And so, you know, you're torn. Do I want to be rude to my friend? Or do I want to get kicked out of the women's restroom? Or what?
Which is something someone brought up to me earlier. You know, and Caroline, talk to me about being just a woman. I don't know. I think that that is like the true test for passing, if you will. If you can go into the restroom and just deal. Because women, we have like a bonding moment in the restroom. It's like, oh, I love your shoes. Oh, your hair. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Right, Caroline? Would you say that this?
I think that bonding experience happens in specific locations, countries, or states.
Really?
Didn't really happen to me too often in Los Angeles. Texas? You can't get out of the bathroom without making a friend.
Okay. Yeah. And so I've also experienced when I'm with people that aren't as passable, they come in and then they're like, whoa, this is an outsider or something, or you're not one of the girls. And I know that sometimes, share with me your perspective of that.
Well, I think from my perspective, that women usually look at other women anyway. So if you're, again, it would depend on the degree of change happening. If you're someone who looks like you're a transsexual, because that's what most straight people are going to think, is that you're, if you're in a woman's bathroom, that is, unless it's a dual-gendered bathroom, but if you're, which, you know, a man changing, you know, from male to female, and, you know, you're looking and you see something's off. Most women, you know, are going to notice something, unless they're in a hurry or talking to their friends, and then they might not. But they're probably going to look, and they're probably going to go, well, that's weird. I think it would depend on the woman. Some women are going to get it. You know, if it's me, I want to be like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, I've
seen
cool, it.
Right?
Well, I just, you know, if someone is dressing as a woman, then that feels, that's where they feel that they should be going to the bathroom. That's where they feel right. So is it my place to say, hey, what are you doing? No, I don't think it is. Take it up with God or your other self and decide what, but whatever feels good, that's what you should be allowed to do, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I think. But what I think does not always fly with the majority of people, and so I've been told quite often. So.
Well, that is true. I'm one of those people that likes to argue. You look like you were going to say something.
I was going to say, during my time when I was part-time, I used to hang out with another good friend of mine, and we go to the restroom, and back then, I mean, I had no sense of whatever I bought. I'd buy anything I thought looked cool, even if it was obscene. And looking back on those times, I just wonder how I didn't get funny faces all the time. I mean, very rarely did anything weird happen.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm looking up on the internet. I can't really find anything. It's kind of helter-skelter on primary and secondary transsexuals. So I think probably the synopsis is just one of those things that people make up to try and put people in categories. I know we couldn't even really agree on a definition earlier. Wow. Well, I know that I'd heard about that before, though. So, thanks. That rocks. Thanks for sharing. We are coming up to our next musical segment. But before we go, I think that we have another celebrity call-in. Monica, who's on the air? Who's calling in?
I'm checking in the computer. It looks like it's Roseanne Adana-Dana. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Roseanne, for calling in. Rosanna, I've always wanted to ask you your thoughts on the Bush administration. I know I was so frustrated by the last 8 years, and could you please tell the listeners a little bit about your thoughts on the Bush administration, please?
I'm depressed, I can't wait, my face broke out, I'm nauseous, I'm constipated, my feet swelled, my gums are bleeding, my sinuses are clogged, I got heartburn, I'm cranky, and I have gas.
Well, thank you, Rosanna, for getting that out there and just telling us how it really, really is. Oh, my God. And I'm sure you've been watching all of the news about the economy and Wall Street.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe we have a new president and we're bolstering the banks and so many important things are going on with our economy and the stock market?
Rosanna, tell us your thoughts on the economy and Wall Street.
I'm depressed, I can't wait, my face broke out, I'm nauseous, I'm constipated, my feet swell, my gums are bleeding, my sinuses are clogged, I got heartburn, I'm cranky, and I have gas.
Wow, that is a mouthful. Thank you so much for calling. And
it almost sounded like she repeated herself. I'm not quite sure.
Well, you
but
never know.
It she sounded might like she that. Might have just said the same thing over and over and over.
She might be out at that Houston livestock and rodeo show.
The rodeo show, the Cowboys.
It seemed like I was saying the same things over and over. Give me a beer. Give me a beer. Give me a beer.
No, I happened to be over there, and I think I saw her there. I think I saw that frizzy-haired woman.
Well, thank you for calling, Rosanna. We appreciate your wisdom and your experience.
We're so grateful to have famous celebrities like Mr. Ed and Rosanna Dana here in the studio. I don't know how we got the horse to call, but I'd love to see a cell phone that a horse uses.
Yes. You are listening to KPFT. This is T-Talk. We've got another song coming up, and this is the song that Caroline was listening to. Caroline, she pushed a lot of gender boundaries. I come from the Madonna time. It was the Madonna and Janet and all them. But tell us about the song.
Well, everybody loves Madonna, and if
yes.
you don't, then you hate her. But I'm a fan. And this song, oddly enough, is actually not what I have, which is time goes by really, really slowly, and for me it goes by just way too fast. So,
all right. For all you Madonna fans out there, we were listening to this earlier. This is Time Goes By.
Time goes by so slowly, slowly. 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 Time goes by so slowly.
All right, that was Madonna.
Wow.
I love that.
That was rocking. It had a little bit of ABBA to it. Sort of like Muriel's Wedding. Very cool.
Well, we are talking here. This is Tea Talk, and this is the Eminem, the Monica and Missy show now. And we've got guest host Caroline. Say hello, Caroline.
Hello, everybody.
Yo. And we have Ashley, Dana, Joe in the background, who's always smiling. He's got such a great smile. And his hair is fabulous. That's very important for a guy to have good hair. We are just getting about ready to wrap up. We've got some things I want to cover. Thank you for that fabulous Madonna song. She's got such a history. I remember she was always such a strong woman. I personally, even though I transitioned young, I always had a problem, like, relegating myself to a second-class citizen status as I saw it. I'm a feminist. I am a transgendered woman feminist. And I think that the man has to go down. Although, one of my girlfriends, and actually it's going to be one of our topics for next month's segment, Feminist and the TG Perspective, because I've heard a lot of crazy stuff from some people who say that transgender women can't be feminists, that we're actually still men, and that a lot of times they've been barred from feminist gatherings. But that goes back into the history. Now, I'm a history major.
We need to start our own feminist movement.
Well, not all feminists feel that way. And so we're going to have a couple of feminists on, and some who are transgender feminists. And, of course, I'm a transgender feminist. And then also some girls who are, as I call, monogendered, who were born genetically female, and they're feminists as well, and talk about the different perspectives. In our community coming up, I was just on the internet trying to find the date. I hate talking about this stuff. The website is www.htuc.org. That is the Houston Transgendered Unity Committee. I was a recipient of that scholarship award. It's $1,000, and I encourage you, Caroline, since you're a college student and you're here supporting us and you are helping spread the news and information about transgendered people here in Houston and around, to apply for the scholarship. It's open to students, any student who is supportive or who is transgendered. And we're actually giving away $2,000 scholarships this year, $1,000 scholarships. And that's something that definitely will help out, you know, with rising tuition costs. Oh my God. It's crazy.
I know.
And, you know, you can use it for whatever, but it's a great organization. And that banquet, my first year was last year. I got to get all dressed up, and my partner, Ellie, she actually got all prettied up too. And we were able to go. But it's really cool. And it's coming up. They've changed the date, but it's going to be at the Sheraton, where it was last year, and they're actually making it bigger. The menu's going to be better. The DJ's going to be there, rocking it out. I want you to come, Caroline.
Really?
Have you guys been to the Unity Banquet?
I went in 2002. I've heard it's a lot different now. I even got my parents to go.
Fancy.
That's what was amazing. I got my parents to go with me.
It's very fancy. Have you been to the Unity Banquet, Jimmy?
Yes, I have.
Yes?
But it has been a few years.
Okay. So you're going to come this year, right?
The last time I went, Brandy Williams was wearing a strapless white dress.
Ooh.
And was just flawless.
She looks pretty in white.
Mm-hmm.
I love her. And she's also a gun carrier, too. I love her for that.
Yes. Oh, I didn't know that.
I guess she's in the Pink Pistols.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember correctly, she was telling me about it. And carrying a gun. But the Unity Banquet, I don't think we carry guns there. But it's an opportunity to network, get together, have fun, raise money for the scholarship, and we honor community members,
mm-hmm.
Which is always awesome. Brenda Thomas
I didn't have the opportunity to really meet her, but
she was wonderful.
That's what I hear.
Yes.
Everybody just goes on and on, and I know that she was a tireless activist.
Absolutely. And she was not a healthy woman.
Yeah.
And
but she still did it, though.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
And I know that they have a table honoring her, and she was involved with, I think she was the first chairperson for the Union Committee, or president, wasn't she?
She may have been. I don't know.
I think she might have been. I don't know. If anyone out there is listening and they know, call in and let me know, or let us know. Oh, we've got hurriedly scribbled notes going back and forth. Oh, my God. Make sure you check up on the website, www.htuc.org. Also,
htuc.org. Okay.
And the information is not up there, but I'm on the committee, and I know that they are working to get that current. And you can buy tickets through the website.
Ah.
They're cheaper if you buy them in advance, but if you buy them at the door, you know, it's more money towards the door.
Oh, yeah. So. Sure.
And the chicken was very, very fabulous. Also, we have the TG Center here in Houston, the one and only TG Center. And they have started a task force, which I'm really, really excited to hear is starting to be in fruition. But they are talking about homelessness here in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a young lady who actually got up at City Hall and was talking to officials about being transgendered and the fact that people are allowed to discriminate.
Absolutely.
Against transgender people. And
there is no place, there is no shelter for transgender people.
Good news. HACS actually has received a grant. The Houston Area Community Services has received grant money aimed specifically at providing shelter for TG individuals who are at risk or who are homeless. So there's help.
Yes.
Yeah. And actually this task force is going to start monitoring people who get federal grants and holding them accountable because they're actually not supposed to, from what I understand, discriminate, but they still are allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to make sure that they're accountable, and if they're not, then they don't get grant money.
Good.
So that, from my understanding, is really, really, really awesome. And then also coming up soon, we have the training queue. That's our annual transgender barbecue. Last year we had it at Vanity's at her fabulous pool. It was so much fun. And the year before that, it was at one of the guys, Chris's house. And it was really awesome. Monica, you keep jiggling over there. You're like a belly dancer. Jiggling. Well, there's a lot of scurrying around. I see notes, and we're going to play some more music. But before we do, I want to talk to Jimmy. Jimmy, you were talking about this billboard.
Yes. Crocker Bar, which is nearly on the corner of Crocker and Fairview, is a small neighborhood kind of establishment. They do drag shows on weekends. The show director is a drag queen by the name of Jenny LaRue.
Okay.
Good friend of mine. And they were looking for a slogan for the bar to drum up business.
Okay.
You know, because they are kind of like a catty corner from the Ripcord.
Okay.
So,
which is the...
It was
the
leather
Levi?
Leather Bar.
Leather Bar. Not Levi.
So, you know, they wanted to do something different. So they kind of got this slogan. And they had it. They have it on the billboard in front of the bar, and they have it on T-shirts.
Uh-huh.
And it's called. It's the slogan is, "What up, tranny?"
What up, tranny?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Now I talked about this earlier in the show, and I figured that there's going to be a segment of the transgender community that's probably going to be offended by that. And some transgenders that are going to embrace it.
Well, I don't know. What do you think, girls? What up, tranny?
I don't like the word tranny so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, the word itself.
And I didn't know it was a drag bar. So that, to me, puts in a different perspective.
Ah.
For me.
Okay. Personally.
Because I actually used to be an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't go by tranny. We were transies.
Okay.
We called it. So, but I guess that's just semantics.
It's a term that I've heard used by transgenders and gay people and straight people. And
Melanie also talks about transition. She's like, I'm not a transmission. I've heard her say that.
I've heard her say tranny before. It's kind of like the N-word, you know. You know how, like, you listen to rap and it's almost like, you know, okay when it's between each other, but, you know, it can also be used as a vulgarity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that they've said that thumbs down. You don't like it, Monica? Why not?
Top 10 reasons.
She's scribbling furiously over there.
Stop scribbling and talk.
It's very, very inflammatory. It's discriminating. It stigmatizes us. And it just lumps us all in as no longer being primary or secondary. We're all just a bunch of wild, crazy, flaming transvestites now. And frankly, I'm not going abroad to risk my life to pre and post-op to be classified like that. And part of my employment goals and vocational goals for college require me to pass, and I find it offensive. And the thing is, this wasn't discussed. I was not made aware of it. We walked in the station. The microphone goes on, and suddenly we hear, "What's up, tranny?" And
yeah,
there's no time to dialogue. It's like, hey, either go along with it or get lost. And I'm like, well, you know, build a bridge and get over it is bad advice on this one, because I have to pass. I don't want to be part of What's Up Tranny. And
I'm sorry,
it's offensive. That you asked me, I told you there is.
No, but that's probably better that you didn't know beforehand, because I wanted a first impression.
It sounds like there's a consensus.
My blood pressure's rising. That's a first impression.
To me, the word tranny is closely associated with sex work.
Really?
And oh,
I'm not the only one that feels that way.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't. Yeah. That didn't come to mind to me at all.
Yeah, I somewhere recently read about an informal survey that found that most trans people on the survey found the word offensive. And, you know, when I hear tranny, I think tranny ho. That's what I hear.
Oh.
It's about the only place I ever hear the word. And I don't like it. At least transsexual sounds medical, you know, but tranny, no.
Well, when I hear it, all right, if I hear another transsexual talking about, like, say, tranny, they'll say, hey, I'm a tranny, because they just don't want to say the full word, because some people don't even like the word transsexual, because, again, it's got the word sexual in it, like it's some sort of sexual thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other times I hear it is like when, say, I'm playing a game on Xbox Live or something, and I say, you know, I use a mic on there, and they say, hey, you sound like a tranny. I'm like, you know, shut up. You know, I have to mute the guy because, you know, they're harassing me. But, I mean, like I said, it just seems like there's two sides to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm the dissenter here. I don't really have a problem with it. And I used to think it was weird, but actually I hear it more here in Texas.
Really?
Than I did in Indiana. And I thought it was so weird in Indiana when I heard tranny. I'm like, tranny, that's such a strange word. But here they use it a lot.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard of it as a sexual thing, although I know there's a lot of tranny chasers. We call them tranny chasers.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
That was when we did hear the word.
Yeah.
But it was guys who were like specifically transgendered women, and they would go after them. Caroline?
I don't like the way it sounds at all.
Tranny?
Well, first of all, I had a brother that built cars, so I'm sort of with Mel when I was like, what is that? Well, actually, the first time I saw that on your page was something about
tranny.
I was thinking, is that trance music?
My
head going completely the opposite direction. And I was like, oh, okay, but, you know, when I hear it independently like that, it doesn't sound respectful, and it doesn't sound nice to me at all.
Well, there's also a girl, I love YouTube. I don't know how many of y'all are YouTube fans.
I get a lot of links from you and Ellie and
Yeah. Melanie.
And there's a gal who actually, she's here in Houston. She's from Houston. She went to Chicago. She's a recording artist.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a show on YouTube. It's Training in the City. And she's just fabulous. And I think, like you were saying, Dana, maybe some people think of it like that negative word, the N word, or other words, like the B word.
Like the fag word.
Or yeah,
the fag word.
Yeah.
And some people.
And the fag word is, you know, I have straight friends who use that word, but it to me, it's like another gay man and I talking when they use it. It's how it is used. And when it's used, you know when it's not used correctly. You know when it's used in hate.
And that's so strange that they would choose such a that slogan to present their bar. Like, if I knew that was a bar, I would think it was all transsexual entertainers or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I know that that area, too, there's a lot of transgendered women around there.
Yeah, because it's not far from the center.
Yeah. So, and I don't know. It doesn't offend me, but I'm one of those people that, like, I like to embrace the words, like the B word. And
okay, well, then maybe maybe
it sounds
the
like everybody else doesn't like it, so.
Well, I'm kind of leaning towards Monica's position, but at the same time, like I said, I don't get as infuriated about some things as some people, I guess.
Well, I'd like to add that quickly, when I go back to Manchester next week, I'm going to talk to the trans community about this to see what the UK perspective is, just to see what they think of it.
Yeah.
Well, and we will check back with you when you come back and ask you about that.
And maybe we need education on this. I mean, because if this is a word that's going to be offensive to transgenders, then we don't want to use it.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's definitely an issue.
Yeah.
I don't know. If anybody has any feedback on that, or call in and let us know, because, gosh, I didn't even know it was like that. But, like, I use fag. Because all my gay guy friends, we would just cat around.
And yeah.
Whatever, fag. Yeah. Just jealous. But, you know, that's different, because I was in the community and I was in the gay bars, and that was acceptable. But I know some people would take offense to that word. So we just used it in our company.
That's right.
Where we were comfortable.
Yeah.
So, well, also, that is an issue. But we want to remind everybody to call in if you have any differing opinions or if you want to know more about something. This is T-Talk. Also, we're going to be walking an AIDS walk. My student organization, we have a team, and that's coming up, what is it, next weekend or 2 weeks from now? I don't know. I'm making a t-shirt next week, so it's got to be soon.
Yeah.
But check that out and support your local AIDS walk. Monica, tell us about this music that you have chosen for us to listen to.
Well, it's a really cool song. In the city of Dubai, in the United Arab Emirates, they have really cool versions of MTV in Arabic. And everyone's instant messaging each other. This is the really strange thing. We all drive up and down Westheimer. Raise your hand if you've done that. Okay. Now imagine Westheimer, even faster, with more cars, and a whole bunch of Arabs drunk on vodka in a country validly that, quote,
doesn't drink
alcohol because we're all Muslims. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So what are they doing? A, they're instant messing in each other. B, it's like a 21st century Victorian Arab Middle Eastern hip town that looks like Vegas all rolled into one. And they have the world's largest building that's going to evolve continually.
That thing's huge.
Very strange place. And they're all fabulously in love with KFC. They want to go get the bucket chicken, and it's all in Arabic.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's a really cool song on here. It's track 14, CD number 2. You've got it. There's no lyrics. It's all music. It's really cool. And I thought, why not make a dodge to make a nod to the United Arab Emirates, because I get to fly through that fabulous city on the way back to Houston. That's why my arms are so tired.
All right. Yeah. Well,
this is going to be the end for Tea Talk. Everybody, say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Rosanna Dana.
Thank you for listening, Mr. Ed, Rosanna, and all you fabulous people out there in Radio Land. We will be back next month, the fourth Saturday of the month. I'm putting it on my calendar now. I used to depend on Melanie, but we've got some music for you, and then we've got our outro. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting KPFT, which is listener-supported radio. That's very important.
It is indeed.
So give them money, because without them, you can't hear us, and you won't have anything to listen to on Saturday night. But thank you so much. This hot Dubai music, United Arab Emirates, compliments of Monica. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Peace out.
You're listening to After Hours here on KPFT Houston. We're queer radio with attitude. This is KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and always on the World Wide Web at dubcubed.kpft.org.
picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in the jar by the door. Who is it for? All lonely people, where do they all come from? All lonely people, where do they all belong? Father McKenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near. Look at him working, donning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? Oh, lonely people, where do they all come from? Oh, lonely people, where do they all belong?
Kelly Gray doing Eleanor Rigby. Before that, we had 12 by 12 doing Minergy. And then right before that, Ginger Lay Band doing Angel. All right, and it looks like we have everybody in the studio for a roundtable. Hello, everyone.
Well, Virgin's here. Hey.
Well, that's an unfortunate circumstance.
I know.
That was a really, really lovely version of.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
Jimmy picked different. That. Jimmy picked that one out, so it was
who
a great song.
Or what was
thank
that?
You.
Eleanor
that,
Rigby.
That was
I know
Kelly
who
Gray.
It was.
Kelly Gray doing Eleanor Rigby.
Uh-huh.
Was that
and
a
I've
girl?
Heard several hard rock versions of that song. That was pretty decent.
And Kelly Gray is an open lesbian, originally from Houston.
Yay.
Still in Houston.
Woohoo!
You can catch her singing at clubs around town. She's a jazz singer.
She did a really good job on that
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
It's like, why is the phone here?
Yeah. And I think she does, I've said this before, I think she is the primary standard for the jazz version of the song, If I Fail.
Hmm. Yes.
So. All right, so what do we got in the news there, Jose?
Oh, right. It's kind of a mixed bag this week.
Yay.
The good, the bad, and the ugly?
Yeah.
And oh, there's the ugly.
Sitting over there right between Jose. between those two.
She says,
but y'all love me.
No, we don't.
The good, yes, and the bad.
No, we don't.
Ask which is which.
Like good, bad, and ugly.
Jimmy loves me.
You keep telling yourself that, Virgin.
Well, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess we'll discuss when Teddy Bear Roberts
we'll
here.
We'll discuss this later.
Anyway, yeah, right. Going on. What do you got there?
Okay. Well, it's Louis weekend.
Yay.
Yes, it is. And yay. Jimmy's knees are in tip-top shape, I'm sure.
I think they are in tip-top shape, though.
No, they're not worn out. They still have another day to go.
Yeah. And
so,
Jimmy.
So we'll wear them out today?
Louis ain't over yet.
They still have some mileage left.
Oh, and Jimmy, I do have to thank you.
That doesn't surprise me in the least bit.
Tomorrow's may have worn out the treads in other parts of his body, but
tomorrow's the show of shows.
Yes. Right. Oh, John.
At 1:00 in the afternoon. If you don't do anything else at Louis, you should go to the show of shows. It is
spectacular.
It is.
It's the one thing I've been looking forward to.
It is the most
too.
Sickest and perverted show you will ever see in your life.
And if you haven't seen anybody from our show, Chris will be there twice.
Chris will be there twice.
So
that's right.
Go and see Chris, if anything.
He will be in the, I think it's the first, I don't know.
Yes, this is the first number and the big, he's the Big Men's Club.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed all the free cocktails.
Yes, I did too.
You would.
I like the chocolate milk they had at the BRB.
Oh, see, I didn't go for the dinner because my husband needed. My husband went at dinner, so.
Oh.
You
know. Who's your husband?
Well, y'all know. Other half wanted meatloaf tonight, so.
Oh, Mark wanted meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
I said the other half, not the mistress. Anyway.
Moving on.
Let's get to the news.
I did see Cameron.
Let's get to the news.
All right. Well, the Oscars were handed out last week.
Yes, they were.
And Milk.
Don't you just love the gay Super Bowl?
Yes.
Anyhow.
Milk.
Milk won for Best Actor for Sean Penn.
Yay.
And I loved his acceptance speech.
Yeah.
It also won for Best Original Screenplay as well.
Oh, good.
Yay.
So.
By this twink.
Yes.
Yes, have you seen this boy?
Which one?
This one.
The guy who wrote the screenplay.
His name is, what is it? Lance.
Damn.
This kid's father was a child when Milk was killed.
okay.
Ow.
Look, it wasn't back in the dinosaur age like you were.
It was 1978.
I was 10.
I was only a dream.
And we should have kept you that way. That was more of a nightmare version.
I wasn't a dream or a nightmare.
You keep telling yourself
you're the nightmare. I was 10 years old in 1978.
Hey, I fed you dinner.
I was 3.
Fight me.
I wasn't born.
Thank God. I mean, okay.
What else we got?
He had that look on his face like he was actually considering it for kinky thing. Anyway. Well, it is Louis.
but
which
Virgin doesn't need an excuse to be kinky. It's
I wasn't talking about Virgin.
He was talking about me. Moving on.
Okay. I'll save that one for later.
Wow.
Yeah. Moving on. Trial to begin for suspect in Oaklawn hate crime. Says here, Jimmy Lee Dean still has not regained his sense of smell, and a procedure to straighten his drooping right eyelid was unsuccessful.
Ooh.
This guy looks pretty bad.
He turned his face into hamburger for crying.
Dean, 43, is awaiting yet another surgery to repair and replace teeth, but perhaps the most devastating impact of the brutal bashing he suffered 7 months ago has been psychological. Once a very active, fun-loving person, according to his friends, Dean said he now has little energy and suffers from depression. Dean says, anybody who's been around me before and gets around me now is going to realize that I'm different. Beginning Monday, March 2nd, one of two suspects accused of robbing Dean and beating him nearly to death on Dickinson Avenue in Oak Lawn last July is scheduled to stand trial in Dallas County District Court. Jonathan Russell Gunter, 32, is charged with aggravated robbery, first-degree felony, punishable by 5 to 99 years in prison. According to police reports, Gunter and a 29-year-old Bobby Jack Singleton pistol-whipped Dean with a 9mm Glock handgun, then kicked and stomped his head, face, and body as he lay motionless in the middle of a dimly lit street. The attack, called the worst anti-gay hate crime in Dallas in recent memory, left Dean hospitalized for 10 days.
Jeez.
This is bad. Dallas Police Department classified the incident as a hate crime for FBI reporting purposes, but the DA's office declined to prosecute the case as a hate crime because, under Texas law, such a finding by a jury couldn't result in enhanced sentences, but could force a greater burden of proof on prosecutors. So, they want to throw the book at this guy, but they don't want to add hate crime because then you have to prove that it was a hate crime.
Well, they just for the record, isn't that their that they job? Targeted Dean because they thought it would be easier to rob a gay man. Hello,
that's yeah. The proof right there.
They admitted it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the problem? They also reportedly yelled anti-gay epithets before, during, and after the attack.
Just for the record, isn't it the prosecutor's job to prove that the guy they're prosecuting did it? That's kind of why they call them prosecutors.
Yes, but the burden of proof is heavier in a hate crime case. You have to really
There's no point in having a hate crimes... an idea of a hate crime statute or case if you're not going to make the effort to prove that it's a hate crime.
The problem is that rests solely on the jury a lot of the time. And if the jury believes that the defense didn't bring a good enough case, they're not going to prosecute. They're not going to
convict.
They're not going to convict him based on that.
And guess what? Again, it goes back, just like I said, it's the prosecution's job to prove the point. Whether it's a hate crime case or any other case, that's what a prosecutor does. They try to prove their point. Sorry, I just think that's stupid.
It's dumb. I mean...
I know, I don't understand. If they admit it...
But the thing is that in Texas, we're dealing with Texas now... I mean, if it was black and white, or...
And you're also dealing with Dallas.
Yes, that too.
Or
but the thing is that if it was...
Your median IQ is minus 10.
If it was race-related, yeah, I mean, it's open and shut case. But because this is, you know, white-on-white crime, and this guy got beat up pretty badly, they could have killed him.
Surprised I didn't kill him the way that looked.
It looked bad.
They should have the book thrown at him.
Repeatedly. With malice aforethought.
Exactly.
And afterthought. And during thought. And every thought.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, going on.
Right.
And there's a lot of criticism also coming out of this case for not prosecuting it as a hate crime.
For obvious reasons.
I can understand that.
Yep.
So they only started out taking his keys and his lighter, apparently, and it escalated into what turned out to be a robbery.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
So,
you know, there's way too many incidents where people start out to do one thing. And then, in their infinite brilliance, well, first, they're brilliant because they wanted to commit a crime in the first place. But there's so many cases where somebody, they just want to do this, or they just want to do that. And then it escalates to something...
Well, it's kind of like a few mornings this week, I've had the TV on while getting ready for work, and on True TV, they've had the court case of, I believe his name's Timothy Bearden. Yes. Who killed killed the kid Skinner. Mm. Stabbed him 19 times. And then tried to clean the car up and everything. Didn't do a good job of covering up his tracks at all.
They usually don't.
I mean, he was a complete idiot.
He fell on my knife. He fell on my knife 19 times.
Fell on the knife a bunch of times and got slashed by the knife a bunch of times. Because I actually saw, because they had the coroner on there who said, who explained. Yeah, some of these are stab wounds and some of these are slicing wounds. So, I mean, it was just ridiculous. Joseph Bearden. I'm sorry, Joseph Bearden.
Joseph Bearden was convicted for second-degree murder in the death of Ryan Keith Skipper.
I was wondering what
gay Florida man made remarks at the sentencing apologizing for the murder and telling the courtroom that he did not witness the murder. And if he had seen what had taken place, he would have tried to stop it. Right.
Who was that? That was somebody else involved in the crime?
Oh, no, just some random guy. It looks like Bearden said, I just thought it was a simple robbery. I didn't even think that dude was going to get hurt. I didn't want no part of that. I said I didn't want no part of it, and they still involved me.
An ethical robbery.
I didn't do it, and the man that did it is walking the street, and he testified. That's all that I know. Doesn't sound very educated.
No.
No, he doesn't.
Because this is a quote.
Yeah, glad in our education
just
system,
for the record,
you know, still
intelligent
failing people today.
People?
Of course, this Mr. Bearden was 21, too. Yes.
Just for the record. The intelligent people usually commit white-collar crime.
Yeah.
Or at least they think they're intelligent.
Yeah.
Like Stanford Financial?
Yeah. Or Enron, for that matter.
Yeah.
Let's see. Now, on the flip side, killer of gay teen Michael Costa acquitted, family friends protest. This was in the UK, I think.
Yeah, Liverpool.
In Liverpool, this guy was acquitted for killing a gay man in Liverpool, England. So it goes to show you that some walk free and some still actually do get locked up.
Mm-hmm.
I would have expected the other way around.
Right.
In the UK, get locked up for life, and in Florida, walk free because he killed a gay man.
Well, Florida's actually coming a long way because after living there for several years, their anti-hate crimes are pretty stringent.
The sentencing?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Texas to get to that point, but it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
I'm by nature an optimist, but Jose, you may have more gray hair than me or Jimmy by the time that happens.
I know, right?
If you have any hair left at all.
He has hair?
Oh.
I thought I saw a couple gray hairs earlier.
Don't you start. I'm not going to feed you again.
There's one.
Well, I'll go look later.
Anyhow.
Going on. What else we got?
Okay. There was one here about Utah. This was actually good. This was actually something good out of Utah. That was their
occasion.
Sure. I should have tagged it. I didn't tag it. Hold on. Wait a second. You know, I found something better.
Would have been even more interesting. If
Colorado
been...
lawmaker Scott Renfro says homosexuality is equivalent to murder. Is the headline here.
Dun, dun, dun.
So this is Yahoo. This is an...
Oh my God.
A gay rights bill that would add domestic partnership to the list of dependents eligible for health insurance was given initial backing by the Senate yesterday. But not before some hateful rhetoric could be spewed by one of the state's GOP lawmakers.
Oh, of course.
Senator Scott Renfro, Republican Greeley,
oh, God.
Talk of God's laws. Here we go again. Homosexuality is seen as a violation of this natural created law, and it is an offense to God. I'm not saying this homosexuality is the only sin that's out there. We have murder. We have all sorts of sin. We have adultery, and we don't make laws making those legal. And we would never think to make murder legal. Okay, that is some screwed up logic.
Okay.
There.
I am.
Did he get dropped on his head as a kid?
Doesn't God love all his children?
I am so past this on this God thing at this point.
Yeah, I know.
God, I have had it. I'm sorry. If any of these people who spew what they think God has to say on the subject of gay people. Again, I have said this before. I'm glad God's not as big a bigot as some of his followers. I'm sick of it.
I'm just wondering how they know what he thinks. Because I mean, if he's such an omnipotent person, his mind can change very quickly.
The problem with a lot of these right wing nut jobs, like Chris calls them, is they think that they speak for God, and when they speak for everybody. And let me tell you, you don't speak for me.
I'm sorry. Anybody, absolutely anybody who's got enough gall to say that they speak for God, that which runs the universe, that which created every molecule in the universe, That's a level of arrogance that the Pope is arrogant. Just
Pope Palpatine.
Wait, don't get me started on Pope Palpatine. That's another one. That's a whole nother subject. I don't want to be preached to about homosexuality from a man living in a palace and wearing a dress.
And wears a big old hat.
And wears a hat, and those red shoes. Yeah, those red shoes.
At least my shoes aren't.
Boy's got ruby slippers and is wearing a dress. Yeah.
A white
anybody?
Dress,
I
bet.
Are you a good rich or a bad rich?
And wouldn't she be about as old as Dorothy would be now?
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Uh-huh.
But I just... Oh, God. I can't... It's also that whole thing about God, man, or woman. It's like, what does God need with a gender? Do you really think that God, that which created anything, would create anybody? And if God knows, is supposed to, as that book says, that God knows the comings and goings and the past, present, and future of every one of its creatures, it already knows what we're going to turn out like, and free will just doesn't cover it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he, she, or it already knows what we're going to be, then no matter what we pick, even if we were able to pick this, it would already know which one we were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Which one we were going to pick, if this was a choice.
Yep.
Okay. I'm off the soapbox now.
Okay. Okay, kids.
Couldn't help it.
Something fun?
You want to hear about an organ grinder?
Yeah. Sure.
All right.
Yeah. I have a feeling I know where this is going, but okay. All right.
Yeah. I'm stepping away from that.
Tell me, Big Daddy.
Come on, Jose. You know the names.
A man whose penis met an ill fate. Oh, God.
What happened?
Go on.
Go on.
It's what you think.
Dude,
it's an organ grinder.
Come on, read it off.
Read it off, Jose. Come on.
A man whose penis met an ill fate with a grinder in Brisbane's north this afternoon has been rushed to hospital. It is understood the 23-year-old was working in Northgate when he was injured just after 2 p.m.
This was on the 18th, by the way.
As Department of Emergency Services spokeswoman could not identify the type of grinder that had injured the man or detail how he came in contact with the device. Although the extent of his injuries is not known, paramedics who treated the man at the scene were able to stem the bleeding.
For a second there, I thought Jimmy was going to do an Elizabeth routine. I'm coming, Elizabeth!
Well, I guess
the
we
look
have...
on Jimmy's face.
I guess we have a new transsexual out there, though.
Yeah.
Welcome to the crowd.
Transsexual by Grindr.
Yeah. Ouch.
New transsexual.
Talk about making a rooster a hen.
Yeah. Oh,
that's not a transsexual. That's a eunuch.
It's easier to make a hole than it is a pole.
Only yeah. With a eunuch, you only take off one of those parts. Well, two of them, not all three.
And that one came out from the Daily Rotten.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
The Daily Rotten going back to its roots.
Yes. Roots.
Well, how did I like the pictures.
I know I'm going to regret asking this question. I just know I am.
Ask
what you know.
As well ask.
I'm a glutton for punishment, apparently.
Yes, you are.
How
yes.
does one? How does one manage to find his parts in the direction of a grinder in order for them to get ground?
Ask okay. Jose because he would
thing.
Know.
How does that happen?
Yes, Jose, tell us. Please explain.
The thing I'm thinking is that either he was trying to get off on the vibration of the grinder.
By sticking his penis in the hole?
And somehow fell in.
Oh, my God.
Or it... I don't know. Because there's the big ones that, you know, you have to, like,
burp them.
Yeah, they're big. They're like hoppers.
Are you talking about grinders or penises?
Grinders, man.
There's grinders that have the big hopper where you put the meat in and it grinds out.
Yeah.
And then there's some that are just little desktop, you know,
and
like
you
tabletop.
Just like a hand crank.
So I don't know. Did it get too close? Or
was he in the wrong place at the wrong time?
It doesn't add up. That
question goes without saying. Some part of him was in the wrong place.
Yeah.
At the wrong
time. No, he was trying to see if the grinder would extend the size of it.
I don't know. Like I said,
grinder, not extender.
I know.
It's an organ grinder, like I said.
When you said organ grinder, I thought, you know, the guy with the monkey.
You would.
Yeah, well, his monkey got ground.
His
happy little monkey ain't so happy.
His happy monkey is like spaghetti.
Or for that matter,
all right.
Chunky.
Meat sausage.
What is this with the radioactive pedophile?
What? Okay. Jimmy, you're on the news. What?
He said radioactive. No, not
Jimmy.
Oh,
Jimmy's I'm not sorry. Radioactive. I'm just sorry. His shirts.
Yeah,
because they all are hot pink.
You can hear me out there. I must be radioactive.
But I guess that makes us all radioactive.
Yeah,
more than others.
Radioactive suspected pedophile has gone on the run after failing to show at court for child pornography offenses. This is coming out of London, it looks like. Yeah,
I could tell the way they spell defenses.
I'm going to regret this. How did this man end up radioactive? Okay.
I know. I want to know that, too.
Okay.
X-ray machine.
No.
I've had 22 operations.
Leopold's
radioactivity
level could be dangerous for up to 6 weeks after he was treated with what is thought to be iodine.
Uh-oh.
So.
Now, what? Go back. Go back, because you missed that part.
That's some pretty serious iodine.
I think they think it was iodine.
Thomas Leopold, 42, a college principal, absconded days before his trial after having large doses of radiotherapy treatment for a thyroid condition.
Ah.
Iodine. Oh, okay, yes. Okay.
Judges issued a warrant for his arrest, warning police that he could harm anyone he comes into contact with. Please warn officers that when he is arrested, he might be radioactive. This is not a joke.
What are they going to do? Put him under a black light and find out if he glows?
Does he glow green?
I mean, you cannot take that much radioactivity if you're going to be a danger to other people.
I know. And if you're that radioactive?
You're dead!
You're dead inside a week.
More or less.
I guess he glows in the dark, though.
There is a condition, though, when somebody receives a high level of radiation where they don't actually feel the symptoms for a few days. It's almost as if they just are numb to it. Mm. But the period after that, not so much. So that I think that's where the biggest
issue
was.
Didn't exactly take that Russian dude very long to croak after he came up radio.
Well, but he was poisoned on purpose.
Yeah.
Radioactive iodine, it says here, is a common treatment for hypothyroidism.
Yes, but did you see the reports of how small an injection he would have had to have received to end up dead? I mean, we're talking about the head of an umbrella tip.
The liquid treatment is absorbed quickly by the stomach and intestines and then carried in the blood to the thyroid gland. There, it disrupts the function of some of the thyroid cells, preventing excessive amounts of thyroid hormones being produced. So this is what he was taking, was his treatment. So after having this treatment, he skipped town. He was supposed to be in court, and he took off. So now we've got this guy running around who's radioactive. This is no joke. Apparently. But just the headline.
I know. But it does say the level of radiation exposure from touching someone who has had radioactive iodine is very small and poses little health risk except to pregnant women and children.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, God.
I mean, you know,
well,
he's a pedophile! Oh, my.
Oh, good Lord. This stuff just writes itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So, if we see any little British kids running around glowing in the dark, we know which ones.
Yeah. we'll know where the bad guy is. He's in that neighborhood. That's the neighborhood. Go looking.
Well, where was he when Ike was happening? Do you know?
Oh.
Excuse me a second.
Yeah. Don't do that. He'll splatter everywhere.
Well, he could have been light for everybody. What are you talking about?
What do we have?
Yeah.
Well, we got 10 more minutes. We got something else.
Oh, yeah. This was last week.
Afraid to ask.
This is from last week about the chimp that went...
berserk?
Monkey crazy, yeah.
We got more on that?
Yeah.
The monkey that went monkey shines on somebody?
Yeah.
Hello.
Now, this is coming from FoxNews.com. We know how reliable they are.
Mm. Well, we know where this is going.
Okay. Nowhere fast, trust me.
Yeah. Nope.
Owner shared bed and took baths with chimpanzee from Connecticut attack. This is coming out of the Daily Rotten once again.
Oh, people have taken baths with their pets before. That's not news.
I don't take baths with my cats.
They'd claw you to death anyway.
What getting a cat into a bathtub?
Stanford, Connecticut. Travis the chimpanzee's relationship with his owner was closer than those some married couples.
Ooh.
That's not saying much.
Yeah. 54%. Divorce rate in this country, that's really not saying a hell of a lot.
Okay. No. Do you have sexual relationships with monkeys?
No, we're not talking about what you get into. Sandra Harold gave him the finest food.
It's an orangutan.
And wine in long stem glasses. They took baths together and cuddled in the bed they shared. Travis brushed the lonely widow's hair each night and pined for her when she was away. If she left the house, Travis would give her a kiss.
I was thinking that too, Jimmy.
Under the Way Too Much Information Act of 2009.
If I left with someone, Travis would get upset, Harold said Wednesday. Experts say the unusually human relationship would have been confusing for any animal. It may have also played a role in Travis's savage attack Monday on Harold's friend, 50-year-old Charles Nash of Stanford. This is a crazy relationship, said Stephen Rene Tello, executive director of Primarily Primates, a sanctuary for chimps in Texas. He was probably very bonded with her. I can kind of see in his eyes, this is his surrogate mother.
See, I can only see Jimmy, at this, really I can only see at this that. Point Jane Goodall trying to find a new career.
It makes me think of that Far Side cartoon where she's the chimps are grooming each other. Yeah. And he finds a hair or something and says, you've been with that Jane Goodall tramp again, haven't you?
Oh, my.
Yeah.
She, I don't think she'll ever
and chimps like 14-year-old Travis, who was shot and killed by police, protect their mates and turf.
Okay.
How did that go from this to this scene? This is Fox News, of course.
Yeah.
If there is another person entering his space, he might consider it a threat to his territory or even his mate, Tello said. Police say Travis attacked Nash when she arrived at the house to help lure the chimp back into Harold's house. Harold speculated that Travis was being protective of her and attacked Nash because she had a different hairstyle, was driving a different car, and held a stuffed toy in front of her face to get the chimp's attention.
Wait a minute now. You Who's know. Who here?
This is the woman that the...
What's her name?
This is the lady that the chimp attacked. Her name is Nash. Her last name...
Charla. I thought you said Charles.
Charla.
Another female.
Another female, yes.
Okay.
Hospital officials say Nash is being treated for her injuries, and it's unknown if she'll be a candidate for a face transplant.
Eek.
Wow.
Monday's attack was not the first time Travis bit someone. A former Stanford resident now living in Atlanta said Thursday... Leslie Mostel Paul told the Associated Press the chimp grabbed her hand.
Her hand.
Her hand. It's late.
This broad knows a lot of women.
Just like
Jim. Now, wonder the chimp was jealous.
Right.
Sounds like a lesbian
like
affair.
Knows a lot of women, right?
It's a bestiality affair.
She said she was sitting in Harold's car in the Stanford office parking lot. Paul said she tried to shake Travis's hand after Harold gave her permission to say hello. Paul described Harold as being more... Paul described Harold as being more aggravated than upset about the incident and said she had to get rabies shots because Harold was slow and producing Travis's medical records.
So are you sure this isn't the script for like a new soap opera that's coming on?
I'm waiting for this to be like a Lifetime movie.
Oh, yeah.
See, and then it can be like an allegory instead of using the man that they always use on the Lifetime.
Yeah.
Instead of a man, it's the monkey.
It's the monkey.
So they can get away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's also going to be called as the Banana Tree Turns.
The young and the peeled.
The young. The young and the crazy.
So wait. So maybe this is how the Michael Jackson face thing came about. You know, he did have that pet monkey.
Yeah, that's true. That's very possible.
Oh.
Oh my goodness.
He did go there. Bonzo. What is this?
Bonzo Bubbles. Goes bonkers.
Oh my.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, what do you say after that, you know?
I do.
There's, you know,
there's
no more
not much to say
for
after
pets.
That.
You know, there's a reason we call them wild animals.
Yes, and they really cannot be tamed. I should know. I've been friends with Sean for how long now?
4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I know. See? Hi, honey. I didn't know you were sitting there.
Bull.
All right. We got a couple minutes left here.
This is... I'm looking at the Daily Rot, and I'm just like... Why
well,
not?
The Daily Rotten. What do you expect?
Come on, Jose.
Either give us another story or say goodnight, Gracie.
Yeah.
Goodnight, Gracie. Warden grabs Lions privates to show they are friends.
What?
This isn't
Let's
Second
make this
Life.
One a quick one, and we're wrapping up.
Okay, Alex learns he proves he really is a game warden as he grabs a lion by his pride.
Oh, my God.
British-born Alex, 50, took a firm grip on Jammu at a reserve near Johannesburg.
Johannesburg
to show another keeper just how much the huge beast likes him.
Okay.
Second
Life. All right, I will never be able to play that game again.
anybody dumb enough to pull that stunt deserves to get eaten.
Dinner.
Alex
and
said,
not in that happy flat on your back in a sling Louie kind of way.
No, wait a minute. The person probably became lion dinner.
The guy was trying to demonstrate that the lion trusted him completely.
Right.
Go ahead. I tell them, yes, it's real. I'm holding a lion's...
Flop. Yeah. Surely a cuddle would have been enough, Alex.
It starts with a B.
Yeah.
What part?
But at any rate...
Oh, my goodness.
What?
That's too much.
What's a B?
Jimmy.
Testicles, what?
Testes, 1, 2. Look at the picture.
Finish the sentence. Tennis?
Yeah.
Any rate. Say goodnight all.
Oh, I didn't see the picture. I thought it was his dick.
Say goodnight all. We're going to wrap this up with a song.
Goodnight, kids.
Right, goodnight.
Goodnight, Houston.
That's
a whole new spin on pull a tiger by his... Anyhow.
Yep.
Yeah.
You've been listening to After Hours on KPFT. We're going to close out with Super 8's I Love a Boy.
Inc. invites you to join us in our 13th anniversary celebration and fundraiser gala. Our Family, Our Future, a live featured performance by Vijay Nathan, Sunday, March 8, 2009. For more information and tickets, please visit www.dayahouston.org or ticketstoevents.com. You can call us at 713-981-7645. That's 713-981-7645.
KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM.
Do people tell you you have a great voice? Do you have time weekdays from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m.? Would you like to be a part of KPFT's dynamic news mix? KPFT's news is seeking female and male anchors to read live during our 5 p.m. newscast. This fun volunteer opportunity is unpaid, but is rewarding. Prospective anchors should have good microphone presence and be able to work well with your co-anchor during each newscast. If you are interested, get in touch by sending an email to news@kpft.org or by calling 713-526-4000, extension 309. KPFT's news encourages both men and women to consider anchoring, and we're always looking for volunteer news reporters as well. Again, send an email to news@kpft.org. This is KPFT, Houston.
Right about now, we'd like to welcome everybody to part two of Chubby Carrier's Family Jam, y'all. And we got the second one coming up right here. And don't forget, look out on the third one coming up, Mr. Roy Cannon, Night Rocker. So we're going to do this Carrier Family Jam once again.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.